WPFW and our partners continue to positively impact the community one event at a time.
I'm Muiza Muntali, host of African Now, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county. Some another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years.
What?
Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice, that's what you find, just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host,
Rose. Peace, this is Atan Thomas, and you're listening to
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Grapevine. Thank you for tuning in to Crossroads. We come to you every Tuesday at this time, and we have an interesting show. We have somebody calling in from Minnesota and somebody from California. And of course, we always have our distinguished co-host Nikisha Taifa with us. This morning is a continuation of what we did last week in terms of the pardons that President Biden is giving out. And we have several people who are deserving of the pardons. They've been in 20, 30 decades and more, 50 years and more, and they need to be released. And the interesting thing about this show is I didn't know one of our guests, Amy Povall, she received executive clemency. What president did you get that from, Amy?
President Clinton.
Okay, and I got mine from Ford. Last week we had Norman Brown on. He got a pardon and a clemency. So we've been doing these clemencies and pardons regularly to see if we can keep the pressure on. But before we start, we open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use, the grapevine. Hey, opioids are killing older black men in D.C. at some of the highest rates in the country. Black men in their mid-50s to mid-70s accounted for nearly 38% of the city's opioid fatalities in 2022, while only making up about 4% of the D.C. population. Fentanyl has become so ubiquitous in drug supplies that in 2023, it contributed to 96% of D.C.'s fatal overdosing. Black men in their mid-50s to mid-70s are dying of opioid overdoses at a higher rate than anyone else in the city, and according to a new national analysis, more than anyone else in the country. Boy, that's scary. Dozens of prisoners allege a culture of violence by guards at a federal facility in Virginia. In lawsuits and interviews, people held at Lee Penitentiary describe correctional officers breaking teeth, fracturing ribs, and using the N-word. Oh, boy. Collectively, they describe a pervasive culture of racism and violence in the prison's special housing unit, a separate tier where people are locked down for nearly 24 hours a day. Numerous lawsuits examined by the Marshall Project and NPR allege that officers smashed incarcerated people's faces into concrete walls, broke their teeth, ground down their feet and legs with steel-toed boots, kicked and groped their testicles, cut off their dreadlocks and ripped off their beards. When I think about what they did to me, it just fills me with rage, said Santiago, an ex-inmate, in a phone interview from a different federal penitentiary in North California. He sued federal prison officials in January of 2023. He's been in prison for 22 years and there's abuse in every prison, but I've never witnessed anything like the abuse in the Lee Federal Correction Prison. And the reason why I do these kind of stories, because I was a victim of a riot inside a prison. I was hurt and brutalized and beaten severely. So I know how dangerous and brutal these people are. So when you get them kind of stories, somebody please do something to jump into it, because if it was you being beat, whipped, stomped, and placed in solitary, you want some help. So what we're trying to do is shed some light on that. While youth detention numbers rise, states begin to roll back reforms. Los Angeles County is one of the many places that have struggled to maintain safe conditions for youth and seen reform efforts stall or be abandoned. Kingpin died at a halfway house last week, in fact. He did 35 years. He came home in August and he died in 4 months. And that's a phenomenon that we will be addressing in the future. So many people who've done decades in prison die within 2 years. It's a growing crisis of people dying after they get released after serving decades. So we will be reporting on that in the very immediate future. And that's been what we call the grapevine. Information that you can use, hopefully you can turn it into something that can make somebody help somebody. This morning, our topic is more pardons are needed. And joining us, we have Paulette Dutelle. She's with, the Jericho Movement and the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee. Also joining us is none other than our good friend, Miss Amy Povall. Amy received the presidency clemency from Clinton. And she's been busting her butt to help get these ladies and men out of prison. And she has a list of women who's been in 20, 30, 40 or years or longer. And of course we have none other than Nkechi Taifa, distinguished attorney, activist, all around go-getter, and the perpetual energizer bunny. She don't stand still for nothing. Good morning, ladies. How you doing?
Morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you doing? We'll start off with two cases. One is about Michelle West, a young lady who's been in 32 years. Her daughter was scheduled to join us, but somehow we're still trying to make the connection. Michelle West has been in for over 32 years. Amy, you want to give us a little synopsis of what Michelle's case is all about?
Sure, yeah. I assisted Michelle through two different presidencies, the Obama administration when he kicked off Clemency Project 2014, and then later tried to help during the Trump administration. And they're just, you know, she has the biggest fan club in the nation. I mean, when the National Council did a massive rally where someone from every single state in the country showed up and we marched in DC, we had loudspeakers, and the majority of the time we were screaming Free Michelle West, because her movement has been Herculean. It's seismic on a scale, and I have to give a lot of credit to Michelle herself. I told her I created a war room in my prison cell in Dublin. She was in Dublin up until recently, where they moved all those women to Waseca. And she talks about her war room in her cell, and she never stops. She never stops. She is always very creative and coming up with more ways and reaching out to more people to advocate for her. And the sad thing, the conspiracy law makes you guilty for things you never did, because you are guilty for everything that happens in with every person you're indicted with in a conspiracy case. And there happens to be some controversy around some of the issues, but like with Danielle Metz, who is home, who was serving 3 life sentences, somebody in that case had died, but it had absolutely nothing to do with her, nothing. And she finally got out at the end of the Obama administration. And the same is a similar case with Michelle, where she's serving time on the word of a man who took the witness stand who did murder somebody, and he never served one day, not one day. They gave him a special deal. And you know, you can't usually trust people who are facing murder and then they take the witness stand against everybody else. So it's the basis of a lot of testimony, ghost dope, same old thing, but she needs to come home.
Let me just add something, if I may, because Amy is absolutely correct that Michelle was, the presidents and their staff and department, everybody knows the name Michelle West, primarily as a result of the work that Amy and her Can Do Foundation has done, as well as Andrea and the National Council for Incarcerated and Formerly Incarcerated Women and Girls. And in the new documentary, the new film that Kimba Smith did,
right,
Michelle West is very prominently featured throughout that film. And I think when, oh my God, how can I forget my sister's name who came home under the Trump administration? Oh gosh, my brain.
Ramona?
No, Alice. Alice, well, Alice Marie.
Oh, Alice.
Yeah. Johnson. I think she talks about Michelle West. I think they served time together too. I'm not quite sure.
They did.
Yeah.
Because we had Alice on like 6 months before Alice Marie Johnson. And that was 2018. That was 6 years ago. And we had Alice on in January and Trump pardoned her in June. And bless her heart, she called us in July and said, thanks. But we need other people to say thanks, not to us, but to their families and the kids to get them out of prison. Joining us also is Paulette Dutrelle. She's with the Jericho Movement and also the Leonard Peltier Defense Committee. Leonard Peltier was an American Indian activist. He spent most of his life in prison for the 1975 killing of two FBI agents in South Dakota on the Palm Ridge Reservation. That's the same year I received my executive clemency, 45 years ago, or 50 years ago. And this gentleman is still being in. And I know Leonard Peltier. I've been in a couple of prisons with him in the federal system. Paulette Dutrelle, you've been working on Leonard's case for whatever. What do you have to say about we requesting a pardon or commutation or executive clemency for Leonard Peltier? Go ahead, Paulette.
Leonard wouldn't be getting a pardon because he hasn't been released yet. But we're asking for executive clemency, which would allow him to go home and spend the remaining part of his life on Turtle Mountain, which is his reservation. Mm-hmm. Leonard just turned 80 in September, and this coming February will be the start of his 50th year in prison.
Wow.
You know, and Leonard has diabetes and high blood pressure and arthritis. Now, none of them by themselves are deadly, but the prison system has not taken care of any of them for the whole time he's been there. So it's just accumulation of problems. And so Leonard is going to apply after the first of the year for a medical transfer, pardon me, and that would either be to Butner, but where he would really like to go is Rochester, because that's only a 7-hour drive from his reservation, where now in Florida, it's a 23-hour drive.
Jeez.
And of course, his family is older too, and it's way more difficult to get in the car and drive 23 hours in your 60s and 70s than it used to be when you were in your 20s, and three people would hop in and you'd drive across the country for a rally, you know? Yeah. So we're working diligently on that.
So let me just also say, Roach, if I can, I just want to also welcome Paulette, because she's been very instrumental on all of the issues dealing with political prisoners and prisoners of war, particularly with the Jericho movement. And I did not realize, Paulette, that Leonard Peltier had been the victim of the Indian boarding schools.
Can you get me a glass of water?
situation of which... Biden just recently apologized for. I mean, all of those things need to be taken into account with respect to him getting a clemency. And he, more than anyone, being a native person to this land, which was stolen, you know, there's just absolutely no reason why he should not receive a commutation of that sentence.
Right. Leonard and his younger sister were both snatched up and sent to boarding schools in South Dakota. Eventually, they closed them and they went back home. But Leonard went to Oregon, where his uncle Bill Robidoux was, and worked with his cousin Robert.
Bob Robidoux, yeah.
Yep. And Bob Robidoux. And Bob turned out, thanks, sweetie. Bob and Leonard turned out to be co-defendants in 1975, And there was no murder of those FBI agents. This was a battle, a war. These two white men drove on the reservation, pulled up on the Jumping Bulls Ranch and opened fire. They were fired against, and those two agents were killed. It was definitely not a murder. And you know, the Indian Wars have continued now, like around the pipelines, South Dakota, no DAPL. And so this was another battle in the Indian Wars.
Yeah, I'm glad you said what you said, Nikisha, because Lenny Pertier is a Native American Indian. I ran into him up in Lewisburg, and it was going to a sweat lodge. And I got turned on to that whole sweat lodge experience in the federal penitentiary in Lewisburg. And I met with Leonard, and then we talked for a brief, and then I was transferred out. But it's a shame that this guy is an indigenous Native American. And when this case happened in 1975, I had just received my executive clemency from President Ford. And I know what the pain and the heartache is. And Leonard been in for 50 years, on getting ready to be 50, 51. He should be out. We know how they've been treating the indigenous, the low, the brown, the black. If the criminal justice system is biased, discriminatory, unjust, and unfair, and you can hold this man for 50-some years because he's an Indian, not because they use the excuse of somebody had to be responsible for killing these two white FBI agents.
And you know, his co-defendants were found not guilty on the grounds of self-defense. And that's Bob Robidoux and Dino Butler. And when Leonard was extradited from Canada and stood trial, he was not allowed to present any of the evidence that Bob and Dino did. In Bob and Dino's trial, they subpoenaed Kelly, who was the head of the FBI at that time. And they only asked him one question: what is self-defense? And he said, it's when somebody comes into your house or attacks you and you respond. And they said, thank you. And that was what happened there. These two white guys, too young. And they were young. I mean, it's a real tragedy. And we've always felt that they were used by the FBI as a way to create a problem. Because the same day, Dick Wilson, who was the tribal chairman, signed away a quarter of the reservation that had uranium on it. Oh, and so we always felt that it was something that they did in order to take away from what was really happening. And it cost these two young men their lives. Hmm.
You know, there's always some jugger booger. When we start getting into these stories, you find out there's some jugger booger, some things that ain't fair and ain't right. I'm so sorry and hurt that Leonard is still in. I know what he's going through. Like I said, I've been in the prison with him. I know how they treat you inside of there. And we need the support because of the climate now, because of Biden giving out all these pardons. The climate should be more conducive now.
Right. We asked Biden to adopt Leonard. If you let Hunter out and you adopt Leonard, you can let your second son out as well. And it's very difficult now for Leonard because of the arthritis. He has to use a walker. And they've had so many lockdowns that when they're let out, it's just a rush to get to the phones and computers. And
where's he confined at now? Prison is Leonard in?
He's at USP Coleman 1 in Florida.
Okay.
Oh, Coleman. Yeah, okay.
In Florida. And he's from South Dakota.
North Dakota.
North Dakota. That's half
Turtle Mountain is less than 10 miles from the Canadian border.
Wow. Wow.
So you see, it's a very long drive from one extreme to the other to get to see him. These lockdowns... his grandson and great-grandson had called ahead, and the prison said, it's clear you can come down. And when they got to the prison door that day, there was a big red sign that said no visits, or visits have been canceled. And they told them, well, don't bother coming back for the rest of the year because we cannot guarantee you'll be able to see your grandfather.
Amy was mentioning, and first of all, one of the reasons why Amy's case reached national attention is because she had a huge profile in Glamour magazine. And Amy, I think you were saying the same person who did your article in Glamour magazine is doing a documentary on Leonard. Paulette, do you know about
that? Right. And yeah, and Paulette, I don't know if you know, but like I served time with LaVon Roach. We walked the rec field together, and LaVon Roach's sister was Jean Roach. I don't know if you're familiar, but Jean Roach is also extremely active. It's my understanding that Jean was actually there that day.
She was 14 years old. She and her brother Jimmy were there that day. And Jimmy left. They sent him out early. And then Jean and Leonard, Bob Dino, a group of young Navajos, Neelock Butler, when they took off and ran up the hill, Jean was with them.
Right. So LaVon is somebody that I advocated for because we served time and we were good friends together. And I was, you know, able to assist with her receiving clemency from Trump, but she had already won her compassionate release, much due to the work of her daughter and myself. But she had not been released on a compassionate release. So LaVon now is in North Dakota or South Dakota. And I know that David France, if he had not done the Glamour magazine article, I would not have come home because there was resistance to clemency. And back during, we were just on the cusp of coming out of the drug war and tough on crime. And because I'm from Arkansas, and 16 politicians wrote that because of that letter that explained the situation, they took my case eventually after the pardon attorney sat there like a yawn fest, and they took it directly to Clinton, two senators from Arkansas, and I'm from Arkansas. So, you know, what are the odds of that? But the point being is David reached out to me, David France, and he said he was doing this documentary, and he is, he already has an Oscar nominated documentary for another documentary that he did previous to this. So let's hope that it helps, because education and getting the story out there is key to the surrender a lot of the time of the Department of Justice finally seeming to stop with the resistance, or a president taking action, because a president can take action if they want, if they're moved by a story, which is what happened in my case.
There's been a couple of movies about Leonard. One is called Warrior, which was made by Susie Bear, and the other is Incident at Ogallala. And he's been on 60 Minutes and West 57th Street. And yes, David France, I know David. I did a 3-hour interview with him. And he's been, when I lived in Florida, I saw him a couple of times. And now we're just waiting for it to be released. He's hoping that it will get into Sundance.
The family of the two victims still have, because they still don't want him out after 50 years. He was 30 and he's 80.
Well, they say, you know, we haven't had our father for 50 years, so why should he be allowed to have his children?
Yeah, that's what they say. Yes.
Right.
Awful. You know, Amnesty International, Leonard Peltier's case has been so well publicized, and everybody know about the injustices and the discrimination and how they treat Blacks and Native Americans. So we know some of that is all through the case. Irregardless, somebody had to pay the price for killing two FBI agents. But Amnesty International has been supporting and pushing not only Leonard Peltier's case and a few others, and I was surprised that they've been still pushing, asking for Leonard Peltier to be released. He's been in over 50 years. Come on, enough is enough. And we know how... We know how rotten, corrupt, and injustice the criminal justice system is, but yet they can hold their feet and make us walk the line and obey the law when they violate the law and use all kinds of subterfuges to send us away. So Amnesty International, I take my hat off to you. We need some more people to push like this. Another thing that we talked about, Amy, is that you get several letters. Your organization Can Do sends out an email with about 20 or 30 women and men who've been unfairly sentenced, extremely prejudiced kind of cases. And you published this little publication. I want to say that you got three ladies you sent me. One of them is Regina Bell, the young lady who served in life. Huh?
Roberta Bell.
You want to tell us a little bit about Roberta, please?
Yeah. Well, first of all, no, there's about 20, right now I have about 20 people on my site, but Between Malik and I, we communicate with more like 1,000 people inside. I've had to kind of back off my communications because of personal health issues that I've sat at the computer so long, my body is starting to hurt on me. So he does the lion's share. He's the prison outreach coordinator. And big shout out to Malik King, because I swear to God, that man is amazing. He keeps up with everybody, whether they've come home or whether they're still in there. And I love that man to death because he gives and gives and gives. But yeah, Roberta Bell is serving a life sentence. Now, mind you, they tried to prosecute her at the state level. And she worked for an attorney before she got arrested, Joanne Kerr. And Joanne loves and trusts her so much that she said if she ever came home, she's retired now. She said she would let Roberta work in her home and take care of her invalid husband. That's how much she trusts her. And this letter is so powerful because she says in the letter, if any adult in a power of position had taken an interest in Roberta, they would have noticed that I think at the age of 15, but she was underage, she became pregnant. She had a horrible home life. And there was a lot of pressure on her to engage in with the wrong people. And all she did was drive a car one night. She had no idea. They asked her to drive somewhere. And so she didn't know that somebody was going to get shot that night. And she was acquitted. She was acquitted at the state level. And this is what I don't like about the feds, because the feds have a lower bar when it comes to conviction, and the bar as to the evidence, because it can just be testimony alone. And so the feds picked up the case, and she's serving a life sentence, and she is a beautiful soul. She has three children. I think 52, but she's done 30 years. Wow. And she, all three of her children, Jared, Ashley, and Jasmine, were at the National Council's rally and got up on stage in D.C. and spoke. And especially Jasmine, who has three beautiful children, is, you know, they're hurting. And she's a first time offender. And she's a beautiful person. She's yeah, I even had her do. Years, she, excuse me.
She's what is the name of your years?
My organization is the Can Do Foundation. I started it in 2004 because I promised God if he would have mercy on me, I would keep trying to help others and bring others home. And Can Do stands for clemency for all nonviolent drug offenders.
Can Do. Would you say that again?
Can Do. It's CANDO Foundation. It's at candoclemency.com. And it stands for clemency for all nonviolent drug offenders, but we take some white collar cases too. And we've even taken a few cases like Roberta, where, you know, it's more about the circumstances just don't equal the time. We're putting people in prison because somebody takes the witness stand who's working a plea bargain. And the next thing you know, you're charged for, you know, things you had no cognizant about, no intention. And so Roberta is high on our list as to, you know, it's Michelle and then Roberta. I used to have the top 25. I helped over 50 women come home during the Obama administration. We held posters up, and I probably shouldn't say this, but the Obama Museum Foundation has reached out to me and they want the posters that we stood out there.
I sent them some posters too, Amy.
So I signed off. I didn't know. I haven't really been saying much, but they finally wanted me to sign off on it being a gift. And so we'll see if it makes it. But I'm looking forward to when the Obama Museum opens up. And but I also have some other people I'd like to give a shout out to, because Roberta.
Angela Reynolds and Sherry Walter. Angela Reynolds.
Yes. And, you know, Angela is serving. Sherry Walters is serving 30 years. She's in the K-9 program. She's, you know, already served, 9 years. And Angela Reynolds, she's done over 80 classes. She's in the K-9 treatment. That's her favorite thing to do. And she was sentenced by Judge McBride. Now, Judge McBride is one of the most notorious, awful judges in the entire nation. He passed away. God rest his soul. But I have never seen so many women in the system that were sentenced to Judge McBride. In fact, I have a house guest here spending time with me for Christmas, Gracie Walker, who got clemency from Obama, and she was under Judge McBride. And he was passing out time like Halloween candy in Fort Worth, Texas. I'd also like to mention, if I can, there's this gal named Holly Franson, and her story is so moving to me and so sad. And she was also sentenced by McBride. And she was on her way to the Olympics in high school. She was that good. They really thought she was going to go on to participate in the Olympics. And she developed an unnatural fear. Well, not unnatural. I would be scared to death to do a backwards flip on a beam. But at some point, she couldn't do a backwards flip. Well, they make you compete in all three categories. And, you know, sort of broke their parents' heart because she was, you know, she was way up there in her talent. And because they dropped her from a potential Olympiad participant or training, she started hanging out with her brother, and some of the kids were doing meth. And she was just a drug user and got swept up in this massive conspiracy by Judge McBride. And Celeste Brown, Montblair, I communicate with her all the time. She got 30 years for McBride. They're co-defendants. But guess what happened to Holly Franson? When she was in Aliceville, some of you may know this, they started crushing time-release medication. And this was for her heart. And one woman died there because they were getting, I don't know who in the world in the medical facility would ever crush time-release medication. That's like the biggest, you know, a 10-year-old can probably figure out that that is not what you would do because it hits your system all at once. Holly went into a coma. They didn't think she was going to live, but she is now in Carswell. And she got one of those December letters. So we're redoing her clemency. And anyway, I've got several names here and wonderful women. And I'd like to shout out before the thing is over a few more names.
Well, we'll do that. But first, we'll take a break. This is WPFW.
Go ahead.
89.3 FM on the Pacifica Radio Network. The name of our show is Crossroads. My wife is Mertine, I'm Roach, and Nikichi is our co-host. And we come to you every Tuesday. We're dealing with a show this morning about more pardons are needed. And Amy Provol from the Can Do Foundation over on the West Coast. And our other guest is Paulette Dutrelle. She's talking about the Linda Pretier case. We're talking about other cases who are deserving and should have been released long time ago. And we're wondering, because of this climate, Biden pardon, letting out all 1,500 who were already released, who were in home confinement due to the COVID situation. And he's also looking at some more preemptive pardons. This is the first time I've heard. I've been dealing with pardons since 1968, over 50 years, and I've never heard a preemptive pardon. So some of the folks that Trump has been threatening, who spoke out against former President Trump, he's talking about Biden is looking at pardon some of these people because they feel that if Trump get in, he's going to lock up some more people. What's that? So I just want to say that this show is important. It's crucial. And we need those folk out. I mean, with Paulette Dutrelle talking about Lenny Pertier, like I said, whom I met and I was in the jail with him. He's not eligible for compassionate release. When they came with that compassionate release law that was passed, for those men over 50 and 60, or those inmates over 50 and 60 should be considered for release, and especially if you have a medical condition that's seriously impacting your quality of life.
Right.
And these men and women are being denied that. And when I wouldn't even ask for a compassionate release. I know, like Paulette, the way they've been treating Lenny Pertier for the 50 years, if he asked for an aspirin, he'd get a Coca-Cola. It doesn't even matter what you ask for. You don't get it because of who you are and how they're punishing you. Somebody has to pay for these two FBI agents. Everybody I know that was arrested for killing the police or FBI or CIA or DEA agents, they don't let you out. They put a red spark on your jacket. Whether you did it or didn't, you're being held accountable, and you don't have nothing coming no matter what. So let it, after 50 years, my God, let him out.
Right. Well, I agree with you. And you mentioned something earlier about prisoners coming home and then dying. You know, Comrade Mutulu was released because of his advanced stages of cancer. And he when he came home, it was, everybody was so, oh my God, it was so great to see and visit with him. But he only made it about 6-8 weeks, you know, because they only let them out when they're in extreme dying situations.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's you can't say it's okay. But we were thankful that he got out. Same thing with Marilyn Buck. She was alive 1 month. In fact, the day she would have gotten out was the day she died. So
Michelle McGee also.
Right.
Russell Maroon Schultz. I mean, I'm just saying, you know.
And Russell, this Russell Maroon, they had a tracker, what a thing on his ankle in on his deathbed.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's just obscene.
Yes, it is. The call-in number, if you'd like to call in, is 202-588-0893.
And let me just mention also that we didn't mention, but it is in the news right now, that Biden commuted the sentences of most of the people who are currently on federal death row. So there is still time for him to do the right thing for Michelle West, for Leonard Peltier, and for the so many others. And also I want to throw in there a posthumous pardon for the Honorable Marcus Garvey. So those are the things that I'm reading on. Michelle West, Leonard Peltier, posthumous pardons for the Honorable Marcus Garvey.
And we actually have a woman political prisoner. Her name is Afia Siddiqui, Dr. Afia Siddiqui.
Yes.
And she is in Carswell as well. And she was held in incommunicado for 5 years before she was turned over to the United States.
Yeah, we need to get Maurice Salikhan on to talk about that. I had him on my Human Rights and Justice show, but that is a case that really needs to be talked about on Carswell.
Right.
Thank you for that.
Let me throw this out to y'all. The number to call if somebody want to call in is 202-588-0893. We're talking about Biden should issue more pardons, and we're talking about a few cases that we're highlighting. We have one caller on. We'll take our first caller. Come on, question or comment, please. You're on the air. You're on the air.
Rick from Germany.
My name is Robert Moses. I am concerned for Leonard Peltier and all the political prisoners. And I think, you know, we have to organize and take control of the government and set these captives free. That's how I see the situation. Right now the criminals are in power. These are the felons and the criminals.
You said it,
and the
partner.
Whole justice system is a joke now. And so unless we take, like, Fidel and Che Guevara, when they were faced with Batista, they organized themselves and took control of the situation. And that's what we need to be doing in the U.S. of A. We are faced with fascism. And fascism is especially vulnerable to the Jews. And Zionism is especially vulnerable to the Palestinians. But we have to organize and take control. That's all I'm going to say. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take our next caller.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your comment. We'll take the next caller. Then you come back to you, Amy. Next caller, question?
No more.
Oh, okay. Come on, Amy.
Yes, I just like to say to what the young gentleman just said is that I often equate the war on drugs. I call them prisoners of war, and I'm not sure, but I have been told, and I've looked it up. I don't know if I actually read it. It's been so long. The Geneva Convention, I believe, said that a nation shall never declare war, the word war, on its own citizens. And it was our government who called it the war on drugs. And when you have a government that declares war and then it is all out chaos, and what they did starting back with the Reagan-Bush administration, and everybody, both parties were trying to out-tough one another, I think that every one of those people who got, especially when they threatened you and said, if you go to trial, you are going to serve 20 to life for yes. exercising your constitutional right to a trial. That's who's doing the time. It's the people who wouldn't cooperate with the government. And they put us in a vice. They told us, if you don't work with us, if you don't testify against somebody, if you don't wire up and go and set up some drug deals, you're going to do 20 to life. So nearly everyone that I'm advocating for are people who merely exercise their constitutional right to a trial. And I consider them, I feel like that's a war crime as well in itself. And I don't think we talk about that enough.
You know, you're right, Amy. That's one of the things that we talked about a few months ago, in that 95% of all federal cases now end in plea agreements. And if you fight or exercise your constitutional rights, you're facing 20 to life or a mandatory sentence. If you take a cop, snitch, or tell on somebody, you got a chance of coming home before you die. So this whole concept needs to be changed. But for you ladies who are talking now, we're talking about folk who we know who are deserving to be free. What would you say to people listening? What could people do to help push Biden and enforce this thing and making sure he consider these folk, especially nonviolent drug offenders who've been in 20, 30, 40 years, seniors who's over 60 years old, people with disabilities and dying health, they need to be considered. So what would you, our guests, say to folk who are listening? What can we do to help Leonard Peltier, Michelle West, Roberta Bell? What can we do besides, go ahead.
Well, I would like to say that, you know, this kind of came out of left field where all of a sudden there was an immense pressure for Biden to commute the sentences of the people on death row because there was urgency related to the fact that incoming President Trump would execute and did execute during his first administration. And some pastors went over to the White House and met with Biden about this one particular category. And then a friend of mine who used to work at the Office of the Pardon Attorney and is on my advisory board, Sam Morrison, he sent in a white paper that he wrote about the importance of Biden. And he does know that it got to him. And I think we have to push with all our might and bring it to the attention, but we all have to weigh in and we need everybody. I remember when all those governors made a list during the Obama administration and put Ramona Brandt and a whole bunch of, especially women on it. And they and a whole bunch of governors signed it from, maybe it was pastors. And it seemed to make a difference because they need to hear from people who are not just family members. They need to hear from people who have a congregation of people who are they represent. And we need to hear from our Congress members, and several Congress members have gone over there to talk to him as well.
Okay.
Right. Now they can call the White House. The White House, they have a comment line, and it's 202-456-1111. And you call, and it takes a recording, and you can record your comment. And also talking about letters of support, we have, over the years, had over 100,000 letters been sent into various presidents. Because in 50 years, you know, there's been a lot of presidents. Clinton was the closest one, but he was told by the FBI if he let Leonard out, that he was going to pay for it with the rest of his life. And so he didn't let Leonard out. He let out two of my friends, Susan Rosenberg and Linda Evans. And they both mm-hmm. said, you know, we'll give up our clemency. We're white women. We know we're going to get out. And you should let Leonard out. And they, of course, did not let Leonard out. And Susan and Linda both have continued to do work around political prisoners.
Both of them were my clients also. Also,
yes. Two calls.
Laura Whitehorn.
No, we'll take our first caller. We'll take our first caller. Come on.
Second caller.
Second caller. Come on, you're on air. Hello? Question or comment, please.
Yes, what is the situation with Mumia Abu-Jamal?
Yeah, Mumia is a state prisoner.
And he absolutely needs clemency, but it has to come from
the governor,
the Pennsylvania state governor. It's not a federal case. So that's the only reason why we have not mentioned him as part of this clemency pardon quest for Biden. He's a state prisoner.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I see.
Yeah, that's what it is. Something else somebody just said. Even though we're pressing Biden, every governor in all 50 states has the same power. So besides we focusing on Biden and Trump, people, you can request your governor to extend the executive clemency to those men and women in that particular state. You don't have to be a president. We're talking about federal pardons. State governors have the same authority. And besides the pardons, I came out, Amy, before I got my executive clemency, I was on furlough for 4 years. So they have the power to grant furloughs 30 days at a time. And every 30 days, the furlough can renew itself. So I was on furlough for 4 years waiting on my executive clemency. There's other things they can do to let people out. So folks can call. You can write letters. If you get the biggest churches, the Catholic churches, and they have a list of clients or people who need to be considered for emergency, immediate release. So we need to, like Paula said, bombard the White House. Call every 5 minutes. Write 4 or 5 times a day. We need to flood them and get the church. The Pope has even asked Trump or Biden to pardon the people on death row. And he left 3 people on death row and they released the other folk. But the death penalty should be abolished totally in this country.
Right.
Because of the criminal justice system is unfair, is not equal, is not just. And how can you have unjust people talking about justice, administering justice, and we know it's full of racism and jiggy-boogie and crap.
Yeah. Right.
And about his life on top of that and knowing that you're not perfect, but yet they can hold us up to a perfect thing. So please, we need to have people call the White House. She gave you the number. It was 202-456-1111. You can write letters. You can ask the governor of these individual states to pardon and commute those sentences of pardon. Biden can't pardon everybody.
Right.
But the governors can do their share to pick up some more people so we can have some more people home for Christmas. And stop pardoning the turkeys. I got something I got to say. Wait a minute, Paulette.
Okay.
They keep pardoning these damn turkeys every year. Turkeys don't need no pardon. Turkeys need mayonnaise, relish, and between 2 slices of bread. That's what you do with a turkey. So pardon people, not turkeys. Go ahead, Paulette.
I was going to say, you know, they can also go to the JerichoMovement.com. And on that, we have a list of 25 to 30 political prisoners. And most of those came out of the COINTELPRO years, you know.
Yes.
And a couple of water protectors, this woman who is a water protector. And she was convicted and she got 6 years. And the judge said, well, I think that's domestic terrorism. And he put tack 10 years onto her sentence, which they can do now if they say that it was terrorism.
Yeah, they can enhance it. Yes.
Right. An enhancement for 10 years. So the corruption is at all levels in the federal system.
You know, they just closed Dublin, the prison in California, the women's prison, and the warden, the chaplain, and some correction officer was found guilty and sent to prison for rape of women at this female prison. And since 1980, the women's prison population has grown by over 700%, faster than any other population in the country. Over 80% of the women entering the legal system have experienced some form of violent victimization, sexual, partner, or caregiver violence. People, we got to stop this. We know the women are being dogged, mistreated, unfairly, unjustly, and they're being thrown away, thrown in the kitchen. Because you refuse to cooperate, you refuse to tell on somebody, you get life. If you tell on somebody, you may come home in 5 years or 6 years. That's not justice. That's
the other thing is most of those women in the federal system were the mules. They were not engaged in it, but their boyfriend or husband said, oh, would you carry this package for me across, you know, when you're going home? Oh, okay. And when the raid happened, the woman was the one that had all the drugs. And when Susan was in Danbury, I met so many women whose husbands or boyfriends had convinced them
set them
to carry the drugs. And the men, they skated. because they did not have the drugs on them. These women had carried it for somebody they loved, and they ended up doing the time. It was just, you know, you just want to slap those men.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of the things. Go ahead, Amy.
I'd just like to add, because a lot has been said, that Roberta Bell is one of those people that is in the that is in the lawsuit against Dublin. And all those women were removed. I served time in Dublin. There was a major sex scandal there where one of the officers, the shoe was full. So a lot of women were being held at the holding facility pre-trial, and a corrupt officer was opening up the cell doors of the women and letting the male prisoners have access to the women, and they got raped. That ended up in a lawsuit. Amnesty International covered it. Every single time the BLP just puts a little Band-Aid on and says they had a hotline for us to call. But as soon as you call the hotline, we're thrown in the shoe. The women are always to blame. And I want everybody to know that Wasika, they're harassing those women. Roberta has been the recipient of much harassment in both Dublin and Wasika. So they take it out on the officers. It follows you in your jacket, and then they make your life a living hell for you. But I'd also like to mention that, you know, Biden commuted the sentences of 1,500 CARES Act people. But I'd also like to point out to people that the CARES Act people were already home, and they have an ankle monitor. Many of them have to wait till April, so it wasn't instantaneous. And I applaud that he did that. But a lot of things that people don't know is that there are so many people who qualified for the CARES Act and should have gotten that commutation as well. Deetra Pate is one of them. We did a compassionate release on her case, and her judge did grant her compassionate release, but he goes, I don't know why she's not on the CARES Act, because we provided her medical file. Her medical file was extensive. And he said, well, she should have been out on the CARES Act. So he let her out, but the prosecutor wasn't happy with it, and she got 2 years added to her probation. So they're kind of treating her as if she's on the CARES Act, because she's on an ankle monitor. She can't leave the home. They won't even let her go see her daughter, who just had a baby. So, and then just real quick, I want to call out Crystal Douglas, Charlotte O'Neill, Patricia Arruda, and Annabelle Venezuela, and Laz Ordaz are all women that are on our website. And we are trying, somebody needs to focus on the women. And Paulette, you're right. Most of the women are in there, and they're the low hanging fruit that just got swept up in the conspiracy law.
Right.
Thank you. Our time is up. I want to thank all three of you. Founder of Can Do Foundation, Paulette Dutelle, Jericho Movement, and the Leonard Pertiel Defense Committee. We're going to play some excerpts, Nikichi, of a play I wrote 40 years ago in Lawton, a Christmas play. And we're going to play a few excerpts from this play that was written about inmates in prison on Christmas Day. And the play is over 40 years old. We're going to play a couple of excerpts. All right, Khalil, let it run, buddy.
Land.
It's not all violence in prisons. It's not all agony. In fact, it's pretty damn funny sometimes. A man's capacity for laughter can keep him sane.
Now, who in the world had the nerve to send you something around Christmas?
See them lipstick marks on them? My woman, that's who. Get a whiff of that, shorty. Smells good, don't it?
I wonder what the name of it is.
Oh, the hell with the name of it.
What you talking about?
Deal, stick him up. I miss you something awful, especially by it being Christmas and stuff. And me and the kids will have to spend another Christmas without you. When are you coming home, stick him up? Why don't you behave yourself so they can let you spend a couple of days home for Christmas?
Where in the hell did you think I'm at? In the Peace Corps somewhere?
Oh, yeah, here I was. I called the warden at the prison to see if you could come to the kids' birthday party, but he told me they couldn't find you. couldn't find me. I've been here in the same bed, the same prison for 5 years, and they can't find me. Now, how come they can't find me, Smiley? I don't know, Stan. Go ahead and finish the letter, man. Please finish. See, Santa Claus, and they started crying and carrying on. It was the first time they had ever seen a colored Santa Claus before, and they thought he was sick or something. I will close for now. I started to send you $5, but I had already sealed the envelope up.
And that's been excerpts from Holidays, a play we wrote in Lorton 40 years ago about Christmas in prison. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you.
Boat, you are phenomenal, my brother. You are phenomenal.
That's what released you from prison.
Thank you, Paulette, Dutrell, Amy Povall, Nikichi. And please, folks, when you listen to this show, call the White House, call the governors, call your congressmen, call your senators. This is an opportunity to present itself that haven't been there before. We can get our people home, but enough that's of us right. have to demand and request it. So please, Lenny Peltier, McCrell Wish, Roberta Bell, all these women, we need our folks home. And thank you for joining us, and we'll come back to you next week with Crossroads. And remember...
Well, Merry Christmas, Roach Brown.
I'm only right one day a year, and this is the day. Thank you all for joining us.
Okay, all right. Thank you.
Let's free the land. Let's free the land.
Free them all.
Beginning at 10 a.m. the WPFW family, and the members of King Solomon Grand Lodge will distribute to those in need all of the winter gear so generously donated by our listeners. Items such as coats, hats, socks, and more for men, women, and children are available. Support for our community begins at 10 a.m. from the Lodge, 2245 Rhode Island Avenue, Northeast. Additional information at wpfwfm.org